Anybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win? I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name's Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and I just took a peek up at the camera. Chris, were you looking at the camera too?
When I said welcome to Watching the Throne, I'm looking at it now. I like to think the camera's you, Travis, and I'm just looking into your eyes.
That's funny because my eye. Well, that's so funny you say that. I look at it and I feel like I'm staring at the eye that's in like 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I think this thing's going to turn at me soon.
It just starts glowing red, the lights on either side of it.
Oh man, I want to talk about Kanye. I can't do that, Travis.
Camera, let me record. Sorry, Travis.
Sorry, Kanye's canceled.
How dare you, Logitech.
That's the robot, though. Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's not you. That's
what
not you.
What does a robot know?
In fact, Kanye's kind of the opposite right now, as like hype for a Kanye project has not been this high in a long time.
Which is why we're here not talking about Asana, just talking about Kanye. There's enough Kanye material happening that we could just talk about Kanye.
Yeah, and people are looking for Donda updates, I think. We are, I guess, almost a week out from, it's Wednesday, currently the 28th. So The 22nd was the listening party, and we thought we were going to go from listening party to album release, and that didn't happen, of course. I don't know why any of us thought the Kanye album would drop on time. Yeah, you know, and I mean, on time, it was already delayed a year. So you're like, oh, he has to have it ready now. And then no, but we have had like a lot going on in the last week, just in terms of Kanye updates and his new age marketing machine of low key performance art continues in the form of him inhabiting Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which just has to be one of my favorite PR stunts. I don't even know if it's a PR stunt. I don't think
that's
Kanye
what I was
going to
say.
Up.
You're calling it marketing, and he's just like, he's just not doing anything.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't think he woke up and he's like, oh, you know, if we stay in the stadium, people are going to think it's hilarious, and that's going to be the marketing for this album. I just think he wanted to stay in the stadium because he felt inspired, the creative space. It was beautiful. Like when we were in there, the initial walk into the stadium with the open roof, just the sense of epic scale of how high the roof goes, and that Kanye had those smoke machines just wafting this smoke that was catching the light. It was really cool. I get why I'd want to stay there, but they're also just staying in the locker room.
Yeah.
Which has no windows. It feels very boot campy, like college, like the worst of a college dorm. It's just funny the zone that he's in that balances that line from just creative like madness versus very self-aware marketing.
Yeah. I have two things to say about this. One, I have a question. During that entire speech, were you looking at the camera, Chris?
I did glance at it every now and
every once in a while you'd look up. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I have a picture of you in my mind whenever I speak to you, and I want to make sure I have the right image of you. So you're trying to look at me. Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah.
And B, I made a video about this morning called Why Kanye's Donda rollout is beautiful and meaningful. And I'm totally vibing with a lot of what you're saying. And there's like some sort of like viral low-key marketing happening with him just like staying in the stadium. Like it's kind of hilarious, like him showing up at soccer games and shit. But there's also something like, maybe I'm just on the fringe as far as Kanye fans go. Like I love all of this. Kanye rollout, album rollouts are always a mess, and I kind of love it because he's keeping us in step with him the entire way, which is such a rarity when it comes to art, like any form of art. Like, we're not there like while people are putting things together and processing. And I think it's so beautiful that Kanye's doing this. People could be annoyed, I guess, that, like, you know, they flew out to Atlanta and got a hotel room and waited 2 hours for Kanye to show up and play his album, and then he didn't even release it. Like, yeah, you can get annoyed about that. I did all those things because I feel like that's just part of Kanye's artistic process. And what we're seeing from him, like him retreating to Atlanta, you know, where his mother had him, there's something very symbolic about this entire rollout and how he's not leaving the stadium until he gets it done. There, it feels like it's going to be a very cathartic experience for him. And I'm okay with just letting it happen, like however long it takes him, however many listening parties he needs. Like, that's awesome to me. Like, I think he's going to give it as long as he needs to make it perfect.
Yeah, and they're still, like, as of today, the video that I just made was, like, a new Playboi Carti verse, Donda update. So Malik Yousef mm-hmm. is a longtime Kanye collaborator. Like, I think going back to the beginning, Chicago Poets, that Kanye has worked with and won Grammys with. Malik has been a longtime contributor, but they had a falling out at the end of 2018, and we made some videos on it because it was kind of shocking. Like, there was a sunglasses company that was saying that they were going to partner with Kanye West, and Kanye was putting out a song for this sunglasses company and like all this stuff. And it turned out it was something that Malik Yousef had set up using a stamp signature that he had of Kanye's, just because Malik was close enough with Kanye to make deals in some capacity, or at least had access to this signatory stamp. Mm-hmm. And I put some of these things together without actually consulting Kanye. So this sunglasses company like puts out this campaign, and then I think Kim even had to comment on it and was like, no, Kanye has nothing to do with this. And there was one other thing where Kanye was going to partner with like a designer for a shirt for some festival. And then that turned out it was another Malik Yousef thing. And then Malik and Kanye just kind of cut ties for a little bit. So Malik was not involved with, I don't think, Yandy or Jesus is King, but with Donda has come back into the fold, and you just continue to get updates. Like, Malik Yousef was live on Instagram from the stadium and saying like, Playboi Carti's in the other room right now, like recording. And she's like, okay, so they're still like actively, it's not just mixing and mastering, which is what we heard was going on Thursday and Friday of last week, but they're just continuing to actively work on this album. And we don't know what they're adding, what they're taking away. You know, is Carti recording? He was on two songs rumored to be on the album, Off the Grid and Pure Souls. And we saw a snippet of Pure Souls posted to Instagram. Who was it? Was it Malik Yousef or Digital Nas? It was someone. But you have Kanye like mask on, just kind of vibing out. His back is to the camera. He's swaying his arms. He's singing. You see some people in the room throwing their hands up. It's a really good clip. If you want to find that, that's just Pure Souls Kanye snippet. Photos of Kanye and Donda's Place, actually reposted snippets of it today as well. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 28th, but yeah, what's going on in there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how far along are they? How far along aren't they?
Yeah. I love how you can't even mention Malik's name without then going into the history between Malik and Kanye. Like, it did none of that even matter to the story. You just wanted to flaunt your deep Kanye knowledge, which I love.
Yeah.
I think this is an awesome part of the rollout, is that, you know, everyone keeps getting mad at Kanye because, like, oh, he's not releasing it like on the day he said he would. He did this and that and this. Like, Kanye's not doing anything. Like, everyone around Kanye is posting stuff, and it's like, and you know, Kanye probably has some level of control over that. I'm not like outing him completely, but I think that some level that's a great marketing technique, that it's not Kanye doing any of these things. It's all these people around him getting hyped, like offering details, but there's still like an air of mystery around Kanye himself. Like, he still hasn't even spoken. Like, he didn't speak during the listening party or anything. He just walked around. Like, he's got a much different energy than I think he's ever channeled before.
Yeah, like Mask Yay season, which I don't think that's what we should be calling this. I guess it's just like Donda era Kanye. I don't know, Mask era Yay. I don't know what we want to call this era, but we first saw him put on the mask in December. He was photographed, I think it was in Belgium, wearing the mask, or some photo shoot wearing the mask, and people are just like, huh, what's that? Like, why is that? Maybe it's just for the fashion shoot. And then you next see photos of him in January, and it's the same thing. Of course, we have seen photos of him with the mask off. We have seen things of him, like, talking to people that was just kind of captured behind the scenes. But I think for the most part, in terms of like things that Kanye has put out there and he's done his best, I mean, he can't go full Minister's Black Veil and wear this mask 24/7. We've even seen like footage of him in Mercedes-Benz Stadium where he hasn't always had the mask on. But I think for the most part, yeah, this has been like a crucial part of the outward display to the public is him wearing this mask and whatever it symbolizes to him. We have that video, why Kanye's wearing the mask, and I forget who, I don't think it was Boo. It was somebody else that was close to Kanye that was just like, it's awesome. Like, it looks cool. That's why he's wearing it. It's as simple as that. But you have to wonder if that's like, if that's it. Is there going to be something on the album where there's just some line like, that's why I wear the mask, or is he ever going to do an interview where he talks about it? Maybe come on this podcast.
I mean,
and explain.
Maybe so we can stop theorizing, which on that subject, I feel like a big reason for the mask, and maybe this will be enlightened upon on the album, is just the, and I think we've talked about it before, but it's the ultimate stripping away of the ego. Like, you remove your face. Like, you're not Kanye. You're just like this figure of a man. And we know it's Kanye, but like, you're on a new path. Like, you're redefining yourself. You're faceless in that way, which I think is cool. And I think that especially worked at the Atlanta listening party, because the mask he's wearing is just like, it's so tight around his face that he literally looks like a figurine. So it's this Kanye figurine in this like red outfit. By the way, maybe we should make that toy and sell it. But like, like, that's so cool that like, it is Kanye. We can see him, but like, he's also this person who's remolding himself and becoming anew. It's, I don't know. That's the vibe I get anyway. And you could see that probably playing out on the album where he talks about losing his family and he's thinking about the lessons his mom taught him and he's on this new path and redefining himself. Like, you could see all of that playing into each other.
Oh, wasn't it Jail that he talks about, like, this is the new me? Like,
right.
He has lines specifically about like a new him. Like, yeah, he is in a new phase of his life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does seem like that could be very much a motif of the album. And one of the things, Fantano just did a video, good old Melonhead needle drop man himself, where he said he wasn't going to listen to the listening party version of Donda because he wanted to wait for the album and didn't want that to color how he felt about the album. But that with the album being delayed, he just had to at least give it some kind of listen and overview. And he actually was pretty positive about the potential for the album. He said, of course, you have to take it in stride that it's unfinished, that the mix isn't going to be great, especially since it was being mixed for a stadium experience, right, and all of this stuff. And of course, there are some things that aren't perfect. You hope that there's more Kanye in the final album, but that production wise, with a lot of the approach, yada yada. But one of his big points was that he really felt like, is Kanye finally getting closure, or at least exploring in more detail everything that went on with his mom? Because that's something that people have been bringing up for years in articles. Fans have talked about it, this theory that Kanye maybe never necessarily processed his grief over his mom in an artistic way that he needed to. A lot of us don't know Kanye. I mean, most of us, all of us, don't know Kanye the person. We don't know what his journey has been with grief. I know, like, personally, I lost my dad when I was 20 and my mom when I was 25. And it's been strange. It's not like, it hasn't been a dramatic process for me where it was like depression and like falling apart and then I climbed back out and now I'm good. It's just one of those things that just kind of day by day, often just talking to yourself, maybe talking to some other people at times when you need to, it's not often a dramatic thing to process grief. It can be a very slow and personal dynamic. So just because Kanye hasn't necessarily made an album about his mom prior to this or had like a big cathartic song that's the sequel to Hey Mama but is all grief stricken, I don't know how much of that we need to see to be like, oh, Kanye has clearly now has closure and processed things. But there have been people close to him. There have been people that have had working relationships with him that have posited that they're not sure how much Kanye has really dealt with what happened with his mom.
Yeah.
And that this album might be, in a lot of ways, finally that public facing closure that he's needed, that fans have kind of hoped for him and been waiting for, and how meaningful this album could be in terms of his discography and just personally to him. Which, I mean, that's something that we had talked about in the past, that with Following Jesus as King, where could Kanye go? Because each album is so personal to that time period. Mm-hmm. Had enough happened in his life following Jesus as King for the next album? Was it going to be the presidential election? Was it going to be just continuing on the religious front? Was it going to be mental health? And him turning to his past with his mom, looking at everything with Kim and his family, where he's at now, it does feel like there's probably a lot swirling around that this album makes sense for right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's making a lot of sense. You pointing out, or I guess others pointing out, that maybe he never properly processed the fact that his mom was gone and going through that grief. It's strange to think of it that way because he's an artist, and you would think that's how he deals with it, through his art. Like something like 808s and Heartbreak, which we've noted on the show now several times, we're at the very end of the album, we're on Coldest Winter, and he has not talked about his mom once. And even on Coldest Winter, like, which is a song he has acknowledged is about his mom, like, it's still, you could still fit it into like the storyline of him breaking up with this woman. Like, it's still not like directly about his mom. So like, even while though,
go ahead.
Sorry. No, go
I was
ahead.
Just gonna say, even during the music video, it's a young woman in a white dress.
Right.
So like the visuals in support of the song, even though Kanye has said that Coldest Winter is like dedicated to his mom, about his mom, the visuals for the song support the ending of the relationship with Alexis Pfeiffer, like the loss of his fiance, the loss of the engagement.
Yeah, right. So like, so yeah, you could even look at that. Like, there's got to be some therapeutic power to, while yes, you're an artist and you can deal with everything you're going through emotionally in that way, speaking directly about your mom, like, that's a huge step forward. And I don't think we've had a song directly about his mom since Hey Mama. Like, there hasn't been a single moment where Kanye has like stepped out and like an entire song or album or like movement on an album is dedicated to her. You could just see, like, you could see the lesson she's taught him throughout his albums. Like, she's always there, but there must be some sort of therapeutic power to releasing an album called Donda, and to have your mom's voice throughout the album, and to direct and to put those lessons she's taught you in the context of whatever story you're building. And we know that story involves him losing his family and reconnecting with God. Like, he's confronting all of these things that maybe he hasn't been directly confronting for a long time. That's what I think the last few albums have been really good at. Because, you know, albums like 808s and Heartbreak, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, like, they're defamiliarized to a level to where, like, it is Kanye on the album as, like, he's the character on each of those album narratives. But, like, he's also kind of a faceless character in a way. Like, you could put any person in that position and you're more, like, looking at it as a story or, like, a movie or something. But, like, Yay, Kitsy Ghost, Jesus is King, like, these are all such deeply personal things to Kanye. And it seems like he's really commenting on himself and his relationship with his family, with God, and now his relationship with Donda. There's something, I agree that, like, to some extent, he probably hasn't properly dealt with the passing of his mom. And, like, this is his chance to do it. Like, he's finally releasing these albums where he's way more open and vulnerable, like, on an open level. He's laying himself bare.
Yeah, this is going to sidetrack us just a little bit, but maybe not, but maybe a little bit. But you mentioning the idea of the defamiliarized Kanye versus the much more personal trend we've kind of been on with the last few albums, I think is a point that needs or deserves a little further elaboration.
Go for it.
I heard my wife saying something. I was like, whoa. You do look at something, how personal and how like grounded in Kanye's life college dropout and late registration are, with graduation kind of being the first one where we're seeing more of the dramatized lifestyle coming in, when you get to that middle act where the ego takes over from good life to flashing lights, where you're just seeing this escalation of look how sweet I am, look how sweet my life is. And yeah, maybe I'm becoming an asshole, but look how awesome my life is, before he has the fallout of that with whatchamacallit, Homecoming and Big Brother, where you're like, yeah, you can be successful, but there's some costs to this, and your behavior is actually alienating the people closest to you. And then when you get to 808s, also like personal in some ways, but Kanye himself has talked about how a song like Bad News is from the perspective of a woman who's having to deal with like being cheated on or feeling left behind. And it just feels like he is in some ways still looking at the artifice of life and starting to create the shell of that artifice. I'm thinking of Amazing specifically as well, where you just see how bored he is in some ways with his celebrity, but still trying to perform and be the character he knows that people want him to be. And that idea of character versus person is such a crucial part to Pinocchio's story. And where that album goes, you really start to see this fairy tale, like dark fairy tale, of the celebrity versus the man. And that Kanye is falling into the fantasy and the celebrity, and that he's losing himself. And you get that run of albums, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, The Life of Pablo, where Kanye kind of is constantly being someone that isn't him. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, it's grounded as a fantasy, and you're seeing from all of the lights through Lost in the World this exaggerated like background for Kanye. Like, all of the lights is not Kanye's backstory, but it's how he chooses to kind of recap his life leading into Monster and So Appalled, and how audacious and outrageous his lifestyle is, leading into the lack of an ability to have love and maintain love on Devil in a New Dress and Runaway and Hell of a Life and Blame Game. And then Yeezus, he's literally playing a Yeezus character with a mask on his face.
Right.
And then The Life of Pablo, he's positioning himself as this Pablo character before having the redemption that he does on that album and coming back to just being Ye.
Right. Like,
Kanye, like, I am coming back to me. And now we see these string of albums that are very personal as he's rediscovering himself, as he quite literally states on Kids See Ghost is reborn. And almost like the light of God coming back onto him is like him being able to reveal to himself again, stepping out of the darkness, like, oh, this is who I am. So you have Ye, Kids See Ghost, Jesus is King, that are all very personal and reflective, and getting back to like not Kanye the character, but Kanye. So Donda feels very important as a next step in that. And I feel like we've talked before about how Kanye has minimal, when he's experimenting, he tends to go minimal, and then he has a maximal follow-up. So College Dropout's a very large album, but in some ways it feels like a practice run for what he would do on Late Registration.
Right.
And then Graduation, he kind of even blows up a little further with every, like, his sound and how he's building out his sound. Then 808s is way more experimental, way smaller, minimal. And then he comes back with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and just explodes in this artistic way that, wow, like, unlike any of his first three albums, but it pays off on some of the things he was doing on 808s and Heartbreak. Yeezus is relatively more minimal, and then The Life of Pablo is much larger. And it just seems like Kanye, with the last few albums, was really experimenting with getting back to that personal sound, that personal space, and who he was. And now this is going to be the album, like the first actual full album of Kanye being Kanye again. But he just needed Kids See Ghosts, Jesus Is King to kind of figure out who that is, what's that sound like.
Yeah, it's funny the different ways like you and I are coming at Kanye than I think most people would. And I'm not saying that in some like, not trying to up myself and say like, I understand Kanye better, but I can't help it. Like, I've loved art my whole life and I've always been inspired by artists. So when I look at Kanye, I see an artist. Like, I mean, I see a man and we could judge him for anything he does, but like, he's somebody who in this moment making Donda, like he's making a piece of art and he's trying to make it the best he can. And everything we're talking about, like how his albums have become so much more personal. The things we typically attach to music, like release dates and just like any structure or rules we try to put around them, doesn't matter to Kanye. Like, he is just trying to create an album. He's in the space where he's making stuff that's really personal, and he doesn't care if people hate it like they do, that it's not My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like, where are the sonic gymnastics he used to perform? Like, he doesn't care. He's just burying his soul to us, and he's going to take however long he wants to do it. Like, again, like, I don't think he should care. I don't think he owes fans anything. Like, he can take as long as he wants of something and get as frustrated as you want with it, because release dates are, you know, there's another release date attached to it or whatever. But I just, I personally can't get to that level. Like, I just see the artist and a man trying to relay his art to people. And to me, this all kind of makes sense when I think of it that way.
Yeah, it does start to transcend, because we do get so used to the industry.
Right.
And what the structures of the industry are, what the expectations of the industry are. Like, you do your marketing, you do your promotion in the traditional way, you release a single, like, you do the album rollout, you drop when you say you're going to drop. And that can be very nice.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, because you just know what you're getting, you know what to expect. But I think that's the thing that we admire Kanye for, is that he transcends that. And that's why his work is so special, is because he doesn't just go by what the industry tells him he should be doing and staying within the expectations of that lane. And it can be frustrating in ways as well when there are these huge delays and you have no idea what's going on. But I think it's what genuinely makes him, and this is going to sound pretentious, but like a true artist, as opposed to just like a product.
I completely agree with you. It's funny because I've had friends who were like in bands and stuff who hate him for all of the reasons you just said, because I think as like you progress and you're trying to get noticed and you're trying to, you know, make a living as a band, you see somebody like Kanye doing what he's doing and say like, that's not fair. Like, there are rules to this. Like, you should have release dates. Like, you shouldn't like pussyfoot around stuff. You shouldn't tease people. Like, just give us music. But you're totally right in that, like, what he's doing to me feels like the most pure form of art. Like, it feels like my cousin, who actually is a huge Kanye fan and probably loves all this shit that Kanye's doing, he has a SoundCloud account. Like, he just works on stuff and then releases it when it's ready. Like, that's kind of what Kanye is doing. It doesn't matter how big Kanye is. Like, the bigger he is doesn't mean he needs to more adhere to the rules and serve as a model. Like, he's Kanye West. He says fuck the rules, and he's doing it the way he wants to do it. He's going to release it when he's ready, and it's not going to be, I mean, he just doesn't answer anyone. Like, that's the coolest part of Kanye, is like, he's just creating the album he wants to create with no pressure from anybody else.
When you think back to the life of Pablo, and Kanye was literally just dropping songs on SoundCloud before right. The album, like
dropping No More Parties on LA on SoundCloud.
Yeah, right. He's just like, well, this is how I'll release this. You're like, okay, what?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, not like an official single, not something that's going out to radio, not something that's premiering on Apple Music. So, yeah, he is a wild man.
I love it. It's the best. It's the best person to be a fan of. Like everyone, so many people probably feel the opposite because they do want it, the music when it's promised. But like, I love this kind of chaos.
And you know, you gotta ask yourself: would you rather Kanye Kanye or would you rather Kendrick Kendrick? You know, do you want just long periods of no, like just complete silence between like amazing projects? Like Kendrick is my second favorite,
yeah,
like musical artist. I love Damn, I love To Pimp a Butterfly, I love Good Kid Mad City. I don't like Untitled Unmastered. Don't like it.
That doesn't count. All.
Yeah. So many people count it. And I just get mad. I'm like, it's not an official release.
What about Section 80?
Section 80 is okay to me.
It's okay.
Like, it definitely has like highlights, but I don't go. I feel like it's Kendrick still figuring things out before Good Kid, Mad City. He's just already put it all together.
I agree. Yeah.
But we're now, what, 4 years removed from the Kendrick project, and he's just a ninja. Like, the man is completely silent.
That's a trend, too, because, like, Frank Ocean does that, Childish Gambino does that. Like, that is definitely an approach a lot of people have. And to an extent, like, Kanye's kind of doing that now, but he's smart to, like, let these little details leak out about his projects.
I think that's the thing. We did have, what, like a 4-month period where we're barely seeing Kanye do anything.
Yeah.
But it's just, we get the Kanye storm in full force eventually. Like when chaos season comes back around, which it always does, it's just a mighty, impressive beast. So I really enjoy how chaotic these things can be. And as you said in the video and on this episode, just there is something beautiful about being part of the process.
Totally.
And it's messy. It can be frustrating. But to see like these snippets of Kanye behind the scenes, to like know he's in that stadium right now working on the album, is kind of cool and memorable. Like you think back to The Life of Pablo and the notepad where Kanye's just writing the track list, tweeting the picture, and then you start seeing the signatures on the page and just how full the page gets with the signatures. There was something really cool about that. There was something really fun in the aftermath of Yeezy Season 3 and the debut of Life of Pablo and following Mike Dean's every like tweet and Periscope. And just being like, oh, is he going to play the new music? What is he working on? Can we get like a peek of the computer? You're just kind of swept up in everything in a way that you don't necessarily get to be when another artist is releasing. Like Tyler, the Creator's release was great. It was nice to have somebody that just, here's the first teaser, the album's in 2 weeks. You get like songs, you get videos, and look how well put together this is. But there is something really, like, it comes and goes.
Yeah.
Where there's something really, I think, much more enthralling and fulfilling about the frustrations that Kanye has. And maybe that's just because we're so into it on What's Up Ever and Twitter and, like, just our YouTube comments. Like, we're such a part of, like, a Kanye community that this kind of madness is more fun. But I don't know. I just think it's next level enjoyable and something you can look back on for years and be like,
totally,
how great.
Like you describing Tyler's rollout, like that is something, like what we're seeing Kanye do now is what Tyler did behind the scenes. Like him piecing everything together, making sure it all fits, like typical A&R stuff, like testing out video, like does this look good? Like a lot of voices, like that, all of that. The fact that Kanye is doing this out in the open, like this is legendary shit. Like this is why we stand Kanye, because he is like, that is so bold and fearless to do an album listening party, to break the Apple record and have more people watching a live stream than anybody else ever has. Have millions of people tune into something that like you're not even sure is ready. Like you just want to play it for people. And he didn't release it. Like maybe that was his plan all along. Like I don't know, we don't know what happened to that show, but like maybe that's all he wanted to do. Is maybe he just wants to keep having these listening parties and having people tune in, and like he wants to get it to the right spot. That's incredible. Like somebody on Kanye's level does not need to do something like that, yet he is. I think we should cherish it.
Yeah, because we're not gonna have moments like this come around much more often, I don't think.
No.
And then one of the things that I wanted to highlight, I know people, most people have just heard things from the Atlanta listening party, right? Either you listen to the live stream or you've caught snippets in the aftermath, or you were there and you kind of listened because the music was so loud. But I'm sure everybody that was there has gone back and listened to the live stream. One of the, there was a snippet that came out of the Las Vegas party, and Life of the Party, I believe, was the song in question, just mostly because at points in the song, Kanye talks about like Donda being the life of the party. But maybe it's not the same thing. But that song really featured like Kanye rapping, like rapping, an extended verse. It was 2 minutes and 20 seconds because the clip was posted to Twitter by Bongucci, who was at the Las Vegas party. And you just get like Kanye rapping, which is something we didn't really hear a lot of in the Atlanta stream, like the Atlanta listening party. You got it a little bit on Jail, of course, and like South Carolina.
Yeah, there are a few times.
Yeah, Junya, Remote. But once you start getting into like the middle portion of the album, it was pretty much just all the features.
Very like ambient and a lot of features, yeah.
Yeah, with very little Kanye. So it is exciting to still think that there are a lot of aspects of this album, that there's the entire Las Vegas version of the album that has these like rapping Kanye, great bars, great verses, songs that could still be put on the album. And man, I'm just so excited. Like August 6th or 5th can't come soon enough, because that's the other big thing. There's another listening party, it seems, scheduled.
Yeah, do we need to talk about that? Like, is that happening?
I mean, so, okay. There was, if you haven't seen the video of this on our YouTube channel, there was this woman who 2 weeks ago was saying that her other job told her, like, keeps asking her to come in and work some big events where a rapper was going to have a pop-up listening party. It was the first we heard of somebody doing this big show, and there was just still like rapper listening party. And then shortly after that, the Atlanta like placeholder event came up on Ticketmaster, wherever it was. And then I believe she was, or like someone else in Atlanta area, or maybe she commented saying that Kanye was the person that it was going to be. And then sure enough, the next day, Kanye is the person that it's going to be. And there's this sneaker group in Atlanta that's the largest group in the Southeast for shoes. And they talked about, I want to get the name right here, ATATF, which I don't know if they have a better name, but I'm just saying is ATATF. They shared some photos saying like, this is the schedule for people that work at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And they have people in the group that work at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They had tickets to the first listening party that were like excess tickets. It seems like they have connections or in the know, or at least are a community that at least knows a little bit more from just being so large and in that arena, so to speak. So they shared an initial photo of the listing for MBS employees to work this second live event for Kanye on August 5th. And then I made an initial video about it, and KO from ATATF DM'd me another screenshot that was just like, you know, here's further like proof that this is a thing that's happening. They also had another person in their group that's like, I work there, this is happening. And even the girl that initially reported it, saying she worked there and there's this rap thing going on, she was saying like, oh, Kanye's having another show. So I would assume at this point, like, in all the ways that we can assume that Kanye's going to do something, that this is a thing that is now happening on August 5th, a second Mercedes-Benz Stadium Donda listening party.
All right. So it's happening for Kanye, but is it happening for us?
Yeah. Could you imagine Kanye just has all the staff show up and then is like, yeah, it's just me. Like, didn't want to have the crowd this time. but yeah, wanted to make sure.
I guess, I mean, specifically, like, are you and I going to go?
Oh. No.
Yeah. I it was cool to do it the first time, and I'll definitely watch the live stream, but yeah, I don't know. Doing it a second time, that it took a lot out of me to make that trip.
Yeah. I mean, part of it was that we had like 2 days notice, right?
Yeah, right.
We like booked the tickets and we're like, are we doing this? And then 48 hours later, we're in Atlanta. And then 24 hours later, we're back home. It was like, I still feel like I'm a little behind the eight ball in terms
of right.
like catching up on things. But yeah, I don't know. It would be cool to go to, but also just like doubling the expenses, going back. Like, yeah.
So you could expect a reaction from us, but maybe not a live in Atlanta reaction.
Yeah, we might do like a live stream of the live stream.
That's a good idea.
Like, we're just kind of like chilling, talking like this, talking with y'all while like watching the live stream. Though yeah. I could also see us wanting to just like watch the live stream.
Well, can always just rewatch the live stream, which we did that night we were in Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, we could also do like a preview, like let's hang out until the live stream starts because we know he's not going to start on time.
Which we did in Atlanta. It was fun.
Yeah. Right. And then once that's done, once the live stream's done, we just like go back live again and start doing our initial reactions, talking with people.
A little peek behind the curtain for all the listeners out there.
Yeah, you know, we're pulling a Kanye. We're just
yeah, you're seeing the artistic process.
Yeah, so we'll see what we end up doing for next Thursday, but I mean, I can't wait. You know,
I'm pumped. Yeah, I love this. I love that so many people are so pissed at Kanye, and like I am literally the exact opposite. Like I really love it. And again, I should be more pissed than anybody. I flew to Atlanta. Like we both flew. We paid money. Like you said, like completely disrupted our sleeping schedule. Yet, like, I think it's awesome. Like I love that I was a part of that, and that there's still going to be more. Like that's so awesome.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, as much as I would have liked having the album and being in the next phase, it's still fun to be part of all of this.
Yeah.
I do like, it was cool too. We noted in the initial follow-up video that it was just like nice to see that like Kim North, I think Psalm was there too. Khloe Kardashian was there, just that there was still like connection, right? Like divorce is often messy. It can often alienate, like break families apart, like cause problems, but it really does seem like Kim and Kanye are handling things very well. I just saw somebody post on Instagram or on Twitter that Khloe Kardashian commented on Kanye's bedroom in Mercedes-Benz Stadium photo.
Oh, really?
So even though Kanye unfollowed all of the Kardashians, Khloe's still following Kanye, commented. She just posted like crying emoji faces.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see harmony, you know, but in terms of like so many people being pissed at Kanye, I like, it's just cool to me that so many people are excited about Kanye again.
Yeah.
Like coming out of 2018 and then again in 2020, Kanye was such a lightning rod. He was so hated. There was such negativity, but I think the thing that we keep coming back to, especially I know people will ask us in our personal lives, just like, how can you defend Kanye, blah blah blah, yeah. And they do say it on social media as well, but it's just like he hasn't done anything. He's had some like stances that are disagreeable. He's had some,
so is my like, dad,
yeah, right.
So I'm not gonna cancel my dad.
Yeah, and it's like you can definitely like be upset about who he keeps company with. Like I'm not happy about the idea of Chris Brown being on the album. Like I'm not necessarily thrilled that Kanye continues to hang out with Bari. Like I was pretty nervous about like Bill Cosby's like getting freed from prison on a technicality and like what response that could entail. So I definitely think there are things to be like upset about, disappointed about, like frustrated about. I get why people might not like him, but at the same time, he hasn't done necessarily anything to anyone. He hasn't like pulled a Chris Brown. He hasn't like been Bill Cosby. Like, I see people compare him to R. Kelly, and it's just like, what? How can you even put Kanye in the same like That's conversation wild. Of problematic as R. Kelly? Are you kidding me? So I think that's the thing that why in 2021, like, people are just like, yeah, Kanye's in the football stadium, high five, or like the soccer stadium, high fives. Like, we can be excited about this Kanye album. Cause as mad as people were at Kanye in 2018 and 2020, at the end of the day, like, it's disagreeable stances on politics and some cultural issues, which I still think can be a reason why you don't like him. But again, not R. Kelly. So it is nice just to see people like excited about Kanye again and excited about a Kanye rollout and it just being fun to be a Kanye fan for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a wild ride. And I mean, the longer he doesn't put out the album, like, the more we just get to keep doing episodes like this and talking about it. So you know what, Kanye? Like, take as long as you want. We're just going to be here waiting.
Yeah, we'll have fun. It's Yeezy season until then, and very much chaos season. You know,
ooh,
Yeezy
yeah.
season is chaos season. So, anything else on Donda?
No, I just can't wait.
Yep, we'll see what the album cover is going to be too.
Oh yeah, that'll probably change.
Right, like, is it going to be the Louise Bourgeois? I don't know how you say her name. Like. Red painted French artsy lady,
yeah.
Or is it going to be the child picture of his mom that's been so prominent? They're putting posters of that up all over the world. Like, various cities have had huge Donda posters with that picture right. on it. So is that now the album cover?
We're gonna find out.
We will. Yes, yeah. I'm looking at the camera as I say that.
Well, you creepily whisper, "We will."
I did mouth chaos earlier. You said something about it being like a messy rollout. I just looked at the camera. I was like, chaos.
Oh, God. But, how creepy.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody knew I mouthed chaos, so I wanted to clarify, but then forgot. And now,
well, if someone does find it, comment and find a timestamp for us.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be like, that's the moment Chris went full exorcist.
And then we can make it like a GIF.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I've never thought, oh, no.
Hey, look. I'm not going to do it, but if any of our listeners or viewers want to do that, like, more power to you.
Travis, what have you done? I'm going to be a GIF.
This is your own fault.
Yeah, no. It's what you sign up for when you put yourself in front of a camera, you know?
Yeah, right.
All right, well then, we have our coldest winter episode that we're going to record tomorrow. It'll drop this week. And then we should finish up 808s and Heartbreak if you're following the podcast itself. And of course, podcast episodes are now heading to YouTube. So if you're enjoying this dynamic, you can see our whole analysis of Kanye's songs. And as we will get into Donda when it finally comes out and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus and The Life of Pablo are the albums we still have to cover. All of those episodes are now going to be available on YouTube, but will continue, of course, to be available through the podcast channels and everything. But it's exciting times for the podcast as we're about to have a new season.
Ooh, mama. And talking about My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, like, oh gosh, this is like, it's going to be way tougher on my brain than the show has ever been.
I know. We just spent like an hour and a half talking about Bad News.
a song where nothing happens.
I know. It's like 12 lines and then Channel Cruise. So imagine what happens when we get to Runaway on our 2.0 episodes. Because we covered My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy when we first started the podcast. But we're still figuring out the format. We're still figuring out like equipment. So it's going to be nice to really get back into it. And just, man, going through Dark Fantasy itself is going to be a journey.
I don't know if I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Well, then, let's end this video so we can get on to the next one.
Yeah. But before we get to that video, we need everyone to stay wavy. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine by me. As long as while you stay wavy, you keep it loopy.
Okay, deal. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses, to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol for the So get your ass up off the wall.
Ist dein Lieblingspodcast schon wieder vorbei? Kein Problem. Dann geh in die Verlängerung mit 66% mehr Daten bei Aldi Talk für alle Neu- und Bestandskunden. Hol dir dein Kombipaket mit 25, 50 oder 100 GB inklusive 5G und Allnet Flat schon ab 8,99. Oder hol dir für nur 1 Euro mehr Tarife, bei denen du unendlich Daten kostenlos nachbuchen kannst. Jetzt auf aldi-talk.de oder in der Aldi Talk App. Aldi. Gutes für alle.